is Miles Blumhardt, sports editor at the Fort Collins Coloradoan, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
I'm pretty sure as I pulled in on Tuesday morning for CSU football day one of spring practice, Kevin was just blaring this in the car, getting ready to go. It was nice and early, and he was ready to jump. Kevin Lytle joining us now from the Fort Collins, Colorado. And bright and early, those Rams are getting after it, Kevin. Dark, it was cold the other day. I mean, I think I underestimated just how cold it was going to be. But coaches didn't seem to mind it. They were fired up out there.
Yeah, definitely. They're bouncing all around. It's a pretty energetic group and a pretty young group, too, as far as D1 college football coaches go. So, yeah, a lot of energy out there. It's a little easier when you're running around on the field than when you're standing there on the sideline. But certainly felt nice when the sun finally got over the stadium.
All right, Kevin, talk to us about this team. Now, you're sticking around. You're talking to the coaches and the players after practice. I typically are going to get out and just see them in the morning and then bust out of there. But your vibe so far, two practices in, and again, we all saw it on Twitter. You've talked to them a lot. There's press conferences, and so we're getting excited. Now you're seeing on the field, but still just a sample size. What do you feel when you look at this team these last couple of days?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a good energy, excited group, all that, which is obviously good. You know, I'll throw the small, grain of salt out there of, most every team is pretty excited and optimistic in spring. You know, it's the same as spring training and baseball. You know, everyone thinks things are better, but there's no doubt. I mean, there's a good energy and players are excited, and especially, talking to some of the guys, that were on the team last year, the last couple of years, they don't want to say too much, but they kind of say, with a laugh, yeah, it's a little different energy, a little different vibe than it was last season. So there's no doubt that it's a different feel and probably just a more fun style. Just the energy and the way they do things. I mean, the previous staff was very, football is a business. You put your nose down and work, that type of thing. Not that this staff doesn't do that. Obviously, they work hard, but seems like there's more of a focus on trying to enjoy, the good moments and stuff like that. So, again, obviously, everyone in spring is excited and happy, but certainly there's a good vibe right now around the team.
I think that when again, there's time for seriousness. It's sports. It's D1 football. But sometimes, and again, not to say that those hard-nosed coaches that are kind of grumpy all the time, not naming any names, that are kind of like that. It's not to say that doesn't work. But it does seem like in this day and age, when you have players all over Twitter and they're seeing highlights and they're seeing all this interesting stuff, they want that more. They want to have coaches running around, enthusiastic, jumping around, and maybe they screw up, but they're cheering them on and trying to get them better at that side too. To me, it just seems like this might be the trend we're starting to see with coaches having more fun with it.
Yeah, I think there are a lot of things that tie in with that, but part of that is players have more control now than they ever used to with both the transfer portal, NIL. Players finally have actual rights. It used to be you go to your school and you're either there for 4 or 5 years or you quit football. Those are basically your only two options. And so whatever the coach did, you kind of had to ride with it, and that's not true anymore. And then I think, with this staff specifically, like I said, it's a pretty young staff. I think the players are enjoying that. Daquan Jackson saying, Freddie Banks is defensive coordinator. It's not that long ago he was playing at this level. They can really relate to each other in a lot of ways. And so I think there's a lot of that, too, of it feels less like, groups that are at completely different points of their lives and maybe have some more points they can meet on and connect on.
We're talking to Kevin Lytle from the Fort Collins, Colorado. Okay, I've been really positive the last 2 days. I'm all in. It's exciting. It's great. But I have to kind of play the devil's advocate for a moment, Kevin. Tell me this. Now, you're seeing it. Jay Norvell, Matt Mummy, I mean, they're talking it's for air raid. And you're hearing them yell it. It's for air raid. We're going to be throwing the ball all over the field. Give us your perspective. Is this something where you could look at it going, okay, yeah, that's great. Will the defense get ignored in all of this when it's all said and done? You mentioned Freddie Banks. I'm really excited about that. That's why I'm hopeful. But at the same time, you do see this sometimes when you get an offensive-minded guy or a defensive-minded guy. Maybe one side of the ball is a bit ignored. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, obviously that's what happened with Mike Bobo. He never got the defense right, and it basically cost him in the end. So part of it's, just we'll see. It's hard to say right now. And the one thing I will say is it's definitely true that the offense got the rebuild in the offseason. Mm-hmm. And made sense, again, because, Norvell and Mummy were coming from Nevada. Obviously, they brought a lot of their guys, both, current players and recruits with them. So it made sense to rebuild the offense. But in a lot of ways, the whole team needed at least a bit of a rebuild or tweak, if you will. And you can't do both sides in one offseason, so one side was probably going to end up shorter. And to be fair, CSU's defense was better than its offense last season, so the offense needed it more. So we'll see. I really like Freddie Banks, what I've heard and seen from him so far. It's kind of funny, the talk around the air raid and everything is how simple it is. You learn it and master it, and, it's nothing complicated. You just do it well. Freddie Banks on defense has a lot of similar thoughts. He said we kind of have about four, key things, key calls, if you will, that we teach, and master. And then beyond that, it's keep it simple, fly the ball, which again, a classic football phrase and cliche, but they don't want to be really fancy and complicated. They just want to be good at what they do. So, I like what I'm hearing. We'll just see how it plays out, but there's no doubt, teams that are electric offensively, you don't need to have the number one defense in the nation or anything like that, but you have to be capable.
Kevin, and I know, again, it's way too early, but I always like to look at a defense, and I want to get to the offense in a moment too and talk about some of the key players in your mind. But on the defensive side of the ball, I mean, just from your conversations with players and coaches and Freddie Banks, what do you think is going to be kind of the strong suit with this group? I mean, I know Jay Norvell, when he first started talking about the defensive side of the ball and some of his key topics, was he talked about the cornerback play, about guys that could make sure they're taking air out of a football, that they're shutting down receivers at the line of scrimmage. You just said you talked to Daquan Jackson, obviously a team leader. What do you see just right now, based on what you've learned, being the strength on the defensive side of the ball?
Yeah, the cornerback play is interesting because, they want to kind of play that pressing, in-your-face style. I'm not sure they have the guys to do that quite yet. They're certainly working and have brought in some DBs that are exciting. But I think the biggest first thing is, and this is where the offensive mind of Norvell comes in, is, well, what's the first thing an offense doesn't want to have happen? Well, they don't want their quarterback to get hit because that screws everything up. And so what does he want his defense to do? Well, he wants his defense to hit the quarterback. So we had a long talk with Freddie Banks about that. And, some coaches talk about, our interior D linemen, we want them to hold blocks to free up linebackers, things like that. Freddie Banks said, no way. If you're on the D line, you're getting in the backfield. Mm. That's your job. Go disrupt. So I think disrupt right there, that's your phrase of they want to cause chaos. And with that, turnovers are going to be big because, Nevada's defense, if you look at them, they gave up yards, they gave up some points, but they had a lot of turnovers. And that's what you need this defense to be. With the way the air raid goes, there are going to be some really quick possessions, which means the defense is going to probably give up some yards just because a lot of drives and a decent amount of fatigue. But if you can stand up in the red zone and if you can force turnovers, that's what you need. So to me, that's the biggest thing. When we're talking in December, was CSU one of the top two or three teams in forcing turnovers? That's when you'll know, to me, that the defense did what it needed to do.
Well, Kevin, on the offensive side of the ball, you said it. I mean, maybe they're going to be – that defense could be gassed because the idea is that this offense is going to be running up and down the field, scoring the football, not running, but throwing the football up and down the field. Now, tell me, over, under, 15 – average 15 carries per game for running backs.
They'll be right around there. I could see them being over, especially early on, because, as much as they do have pieces of the air raid, it's still a transition. This isn't going to be the full Carson Strong air raid that we saw last year, just because, you know, so many things. You're going to have a quarterback who has never played or started a D1 game. You have all these receivers, you know, kind of emerging of the old and the new. You know, we'll see what the line play is. So, yeah, I could see over 15.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. And again, I think it's going to be a team, you know, that's going to utilize running backs in so many different ways. It's not just going to be straight up handoff, which will probably skew some of those stats where it's going to certainly feel like it's a run play, but it might not register as a run play.
Yeah, I mean, Avery Morrow catch the ball. We saw last year David Bailey, you know, had some really good success catching the ball. So yeah, I think the running backs will certainly be in play, you know, certainly different. We're not going to see 27 halfback dives a game, but they'll certainly be part of this.
Talking to Kevin Lytle of the Fort Collins, Colorado. And okay, the players, talk to us about, well, the quarterback position. Everybody wants to know what that's looking like. Those are always the big things, right? The coach and the coordinator. We know about Matt Mumme and what he's going to be doing with Jay Norvell. The quarterback, we talk a lot about Clay Millen, the transfer from Nevada. You talk to Matt Mumme, he says, hey, when he got on the field, he was exactly like Carson Strong. So it's hard for me to think that it's not Clay Millen's job to lose. The coaches might not be saying that yet, but he's got to be the guy, right?
Yeah, I mean, they're not going to name a starter in the first week of spring. And to be honest, they may not, you know, even during spring at all. But Clay Millen's the first name out of the mouth. He's running with the ones. He's absolutely the guy, unless, you know, basically he gives up or someone steals it from him. But yeah, he's the guy. You know, again, we're in, you know, shorts practices right now, so, you know, most D1 players look good, but the ball comes out of his hand really nice. You know, good velocity, good spiral, seems accurate. But Jackson Stratton and Braden Fowler Nicolosi, I would say they look nice too. Really good, you know, arm. You know, basically explosiveness out of the arm. Matt Mumme even today said, yeah, it's great, you know, to get him on the field and see that what you thought you were recruiting looks like what you're seeing on the field. And even some other guys, Giles Pooler, a walk-on who spent, you know, mostly grew up in Fort Collins, he's playing really well. He's got a huge arm. Evan Elias is a nice player. So the quarterback room has gone from really thin to really stacked. But yeah, no doubt that Clay Millen is the heavy front runner to be the starter.
Torrey Horton, that guy, obviously Rams fans remember him well, tore Colorado State up the last time we saw him out, and that was with obviously all the CSU guys were on the Nevada side. How big of a player do you think he's going to be? I mean, obviously there's guys like Dante Wright and McCulloch, and you're getting excited about those guys, but this guy could be bringing back that wide receiver you. Now, we can tack him into that list, perhaps.
Yeah, exactly. And he looks the part. He makes big plays in practice. Obviously, he does in games. Torrey Horton's going to be really good. He obviously already knows the offense. So, yeah, I think he's your wide receiver, you know, one. But the good thing with this offense is, you know, they just spread it around a ton of different guys. It's built so that if you try and take away a Torrey Horton, then you're exposed and Dante Wright torches you, you know, that type of thing. And, you know, Matt Mumme today highlighted, you know, both Dante Wright and Ty McCulloch as guys not only making a lot of plays, but guys that they really love, you know, that are, you know, basically just football junkies that want to be out there practicing and running as many routes as they can, catching as many balls as they can. They said, that's exactly what a Torrey Horton has been at Nevada, you know, what Romeo Dubs at Nevada was like. So they seem really excited about those guys, which is good to hear, because obviously they were not utilized in, you know, I guess, to the capability of their skill previously. So it'll be fun to see what they do. But yeah, Torrey Horton certainly looks like a guy that, you know, potentially could have a nice season and potentially play at the next level.
It's just fun seeing all the lineups, man. All the looks that this team's already putting out. Their trips right, receivers all over the field. I mean, I think, you know, with every post or whatever and with every story you put together, I think the excitement just continues to build. And, wow, look what happens. This coaching staff's letting everybody open and coming in there and looking at this, and you're seeing the excitement build around Colorado State football. Kevin, what are you working on in the meantime, man, that we can check out at the Colorado one?
Yeah, the Torrey Horton and wide receiver U thing is definitely one I'm going to circle back on here in spring ball. Like I said, I talked to Matt Mumme and Freddie Banks today. So, yeah, several pieces, features and stuff about some of these players coming in the next few weeks as we get through spring ball. So, yeah, it's good. You know, the access is phenomenal. And I think fans are really going to appreciate that because I think there's some interesting guys and stories on this team.
Yeah. Kevin, great work from you as always, my man. Hey, this is exciting. It's fun right now, and I know it's spring, but it's better than being boring and just kind of like, I don't know what's going to happen. I do think that optimism is not at an all-time high, but maybe an all-time high for the past few years anyway surrounding the football team.
Certainly an all-time high for a team coming off a 3-9 season. So no, it's good. You know, you combine what the basketball team did and the excitement there, and now the buzz around football. And I think it's a good time to be a CSU fan, which is good because for a few years there it was pretty grim. So I'm just happy for all those fans that put in all the time and money supporting their team. And it's looking like it's trending in the right direction right now.
Kevin, I got 30 seconds, and I'm sorry we have to get to it this way, but David Roddy, we talked about it yesterday, what he was saying on the show. Not going to leave CSU for another school, but maybe the NBA. What does that lead you to believe? Is he going to be a CSU Ram next year?
Yeah, everything David Roddy, told you and has said lines up with everything, any of us that have been around him. No, he believes strongly in what's happening here and the right fit. So, I think he'll enter his name in the draft evaluation, but I would say, more likely than not, he'll be back at CSU. And like he clearly said, he certainly won't transfer anywhere else. So yeah, I would say the odds are that he'll be back at CSU right now.
Well, let's get it going. Let's turn it back. Let's run it back. All right, Kevin, my man. We'll talk to you soon, my friend.
Sounds great. Thanks, Brady.
Kevin Lytle of the Fort Collins, Colorado. Sean Thomas did enter the transfer portal. We know Chandler Jacobs has gone too. All right, we'll take a quick break. It's a whole show powered by PDC Energy.
If you want nuggets insight, then you want the Hull Show on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Sefa Lufau, former Colorado Buffaloes quarterback, and you're listening to the Hull Show on 1310 KFKA.
All right, breaking news before we break. Chris Paul is active. He's playing tonight for the Suns, going up against the Nuggets tonight. Second hour, we'll talk to Dempsey coming up next. It's Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFK. After the 12 o'clock hour, good afternoon, Northern Colorado. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. Glad you could be with us here today on this Thursday, March 24th. And another great day, man. It was fun to get out again. I stopped by Colorado State spring practice day two, and it was great. Yeah, it was fun. It was less cold, so that's cool. I'm starting to get pretty pumped about this team. I want to get into more details. We'll talk to Kevin Lytle of the Fort Collins, Colorado, and at the bottom of the hour today. But I don't know, man. 2 days in, I mean, it's just every time I see them, they're airing it out. They're just going downfield, lining up, trips right, tons of receivers, guys to watch out for. Well, right now it's Clay Millen and Torrey Horton. Horton out of Nevada. Well, both guys out of Nevada, I guess. So I want to get into some of that a little bit later on throughout the show. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. Our Method Flow Products poll question. Who would you rather see the Nuggets face in the first round of the playoffs? At this point, where we sit, it's probably is it Golden State or Memphis? Who would you rather see, Golden State or Memphis? And right now, Golden State, they're in an interesting spot with Steph Curry out for at least, he's going to be reevaluated in 2 weeks. That's not a comeback date. They're going to look at him again and see where they are. He may be out in that first round. We're a couple of games away, man. I mean, what, 9 games left for the Nuggets at this stage? So I think if you're looking at this saying, man, Memphis is pretty dang good, man. Second in the West right now. Ja Morant is certainly, he's a top 5 candidate for MVP. He's in the top 5. Desmond Bane has been great. Dylan Brooks has been solid for them. Brandon Clark. And, of course, they have Steven Adams, who's, you know, he's not really a big point guy anymore, but he's definitely still pulling down the boards, and he is a defensive guy. So this is a really well-put-together team. Meanwhile, when you go over to Golden State's side, you know, Curry's been the man for this team, as always. I mean, Klay Thompson's starting to get his numbers up. He's averaging 18 points. But I'm not sure if the timing is going to work out for Golden State in that first round, if they're going to even get past the first round. So you might smell blood in the water. Now, again, Steph Curry's on this team, injured or not, he's still lethal. The guy is lethal. I don't want to see him in the playoffs. You know, I don't want to see him for the Nuggets. Go as far as you possibly can before you got to see him in the playoffs. No doubt about it. So go vote on that one. I'll be curious to what you guys think. You have a team last night in Minnesota that lost. So now they are a game and a half behind the Nuggets. And so that's a big deal. That is a big deal. Jades, let's get to our big story of the day. Big story of the day presented by FMS Bank. Banking made simple. Pop over to that whenever we can. Big story rolling. Okay. Big story of the day is Michael Malone. The Nuggets have reached a multi-year extension with head coach Michael Malone, which is a great thing for this team. Terms were not released just yet, but he still had next year remaining in his contract, the 2022-23 season remaining on his deal. He will now be tied to the franchise through what they hope will be the championship window over the next few years with Nikola Jokic, which is true. And I like it. I think it's a great move. Now, Malone gets pressure. He gets, every single year we get into the playoffs, we talk about Michael Malone and say, is he the right guy that can get this team over the hump? I mean, when you just take a look at what he's done since becoming the head coach of the Denver Nuggets. You know, over the years, he's just gotten better and better and better. When you look at his record, you know, I think he had a terribly unfair shake when he was at Sacramento. I mean, his second year in, they were 11-13, and Boogie Cousins at the time was sick. He was like really the flu or something. He was out for like 2 weeks, mono or something, and they were still like a 500 team, and he got fired. The very next year, he goes to Denver. He's 33-49. Okay, it's his first year trying to clean up the mess that Brian Shaw left him. The very next year, they're almost in the playoffs. Now, they're close, at least. They went 40-42. That would have got him into a play-in game if they were doing that back in 2016 and 17. So he won seven more games that year. The next year, that was the year that they missed the playoffs by one game because of Minnesota. They lost to Minnesota. It was winner gets in. And Denver went 46-36. So you went six game improve to the next year, you go 54-28. That was the year that they went to the playoffs. And then, of course, they lost in the conference semifinals. And then in 2019, we all know what happened there, right? Or, well, 2019, they lost in the conference finals. They made it to the Western Conference Finals in the bubble. Then last year, they made it in the conference semifinals. So Michael Malone, and remember how great George Karl was. Karl was sensational. Couldn't get him past the first round. He did it one time. Malone, every playoff appearance that he's had with the Nuggets so far, has got him past the first round. And I think they're going to get past the first round again. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. I want to talk about that more. We're going to have Chris Dempsey on the show. Talk about what the extension means. You want to keep him intact. Now, I will say this. I've had this discussion about Michael Malone. Is this situation, was it kind of like what Golden State did? You know, Mark Jackson's the coach. He kind of gets this team rolling. They're getting to the point where they're going to be a playoff team at least. You got Steph Curry, Klay Thompson and Draymond Green. But they just couldn't quite get over the hump where they were in the upper echelon. So Golden State looked at that and said, okay, Mark Jackson, he's a great guy. He got us here. He's good at building a team, but he's probably not the coach that's going to get us over that hump into the next level. So they fire him, and they hire Steve Kerr. And we know what happened then. Steve Kerr and company went and won three championships. They went and got Kevin Durant as well, which doesn't hurt, but they won three titles. They had a kind of a mini dynasty that is still kind of alive and well today, but they're going to need to win a championship soon. The Patriots were a dynasty for 20 years, so why can't Golden State? Spurs were a dynasty for almost 20 years, so it makes sense they could still be that. But there was part of me that wondered, are the Nuggets on the same trajectory with Michael Malone? Is he Mark Jackson? Is Michael Malone not the guy that can get them over the top and they need a Steve Kerr type of guy? And I guess it's easy to look at that. The grass is always greener. But you've been to the conference semifinals, the conference finals, and the conference semifinals in the last 3 years. You're very much in the mix. Not sure who else can get this team. I mean, you're missing out by one playoff run. You're missing out by one playoff series. So if you're saying he's not the guy that can get them over that hump, who is? And how much better is he, essentially? Because you're doing big things. So I like the contract extension. To me, yes, there's reasons to get frustrated with Michael Malone as any coach in this league. But what he was able to do for the past few years, you know, he's been with the Nuggets for six seasons. This is his seventh year. Half of his time he spent in the playoffs, and half of his time he spent in the second round at least. You longed for that back in the day. So those of you that don't like this signing, it's interesting to me. I mean, you were desperate for playoffs with Brian Shaw. And then when George Karl was there, you were desperate to get past the first round. Well, Michael Malone has done it twice. Three times. He is not losing in the first round. And I don't think he's going to do that this year either. So go vote at theholeshow.com. Who would you rather face in that first round, Golden State or Memphis? What's going on with Jerry Jeudy? You know what's happening with Russell Wilson. They're in his home in, what is it, like Southern California? Is that where they are? He's like got a football field in his backyard. And you know that you got Tim Patrick there and Cortland Sutton's there. KJ Hamler's there. Some linemen are there. They're all working. And I don't know what's happening with Jerry. He, you know, the rumor yesterday was don't get on his case because his mom is in the hospital. He has come out and said, no, my mom's not sick. Then he posted a picture of like a dad holding a baby. And then he wrote March 23rd, comma, March 27th with two hearts. So I'm guessing he had a kid. Did he have a kid? This is my problem with Jerry through the years. I get it. It's not our business, man. This is the offseason. You don't have to go play with Russell Wilson. I don't think anybody's really flipping out about that you'd rather him do it, right? Because he didn't have a touchdown last year. Or did he have one? How many touchdowns did Jerry Jeudy have last year? But so you know, as a fan, you look at him and say, I want you working with him as much as possible. But listen, we're not going to hold your feet to the fire. It's the offseason. Okay, fine. But then don't tweet all about it. You know, on March 22nd, he tweeted, can't wait. With a Russell Wilson throwing a football to Cortland Sutton. Then the very next tweet he put out was, remember, there's more in life than just football. Yeah, zero touchdowns. He tweeted out, remember, it's more in life than just football. That's what he wrote. So then you get people going, all right, so you're saying I don't need to be there. What's going on? Then the rumor started that his mom was sick because it was Get Well Mom balloons on his Instagram. And then it was, okay, my mom's not sick. He tweeted before that, as long as the people that need to know where I'm at knows where I'm at, the rest of you all are irrelevant. I feel like it's defensive. It's abrasive, isn't it? It's your Twitter account. This is the day and age we're in. But we do tend to dissect that stuff when you have a guy that's a first-round pick that was supposed to really be a dominant superstar in this league. And I think when you start adding the things up, okay, his production was bad last year. He was hurt before that. His production was bad last year. He tweets interesting things all the time. Now, if he had a baby, congratulations. But, like, my thing is, if you don't want drama, don't start any drama. Why are you on Twitter starting drama? Why are you tweeting stuff like this? If you want to post that you're a dad, post that you're a dad. And maybe he doesn't really give a you know what. Maybe he just doesn't care. But that probably resonates on the field, too. I get it. You don't have to be a fan. You don't have to be a superhero. You don't have to be a fan favorite. This can be the guy you want to be. I get that. But You have been under the microscope. You were drafted in a top 10 pick in the first round. The expectations for you are ridiculously high. You're a ridiculously gifted wide receiver. But now you got to prove it. And is he going to be number two on this team? I believe it's going to be Cortland Sutton, Tim Patrick, probably Jerry Jeudy, but KJ Hamler has done some good things too. And if you get to the point where Jeudy is a third to fourth option, what are we doing here? Is he even going to come back when his rookie deal's done? It's interesting to think about. And you post that, Jeudy lovers are like, why would you go after him like that? It's like, I'm not even going after the guy. I don't care that he's not playing with Russell Wilson right now. I mean, listen, I'm not going to say I don't care. Do I want to see Russell Wilson and all of his receivers and tight ends and running backs like mesh and be best friends and have it all ready to go by the time, you know, OTAs start? Absolutely. Is it the end all be all? Do I look at that and say, oh man, you didn't do that. You're a terrible player. You're not going to make it. It's the tweets. At the end of the day, it's the tweets. This is the world we're in. This is something that we use to decipher what kind of player you are. And unfortunately, fair or unfair, right now people kind of look at you and say, you bring drama. You bring drama. This isn't his first Twitter incident. So you do wonder. Now listen, I root for the guy. The guy is ridiculous. Why wouldn't you root for him? And if he's a dad, congratulations, that's amazing. And if it's something where someone's in the hospital and they're sick and they're hurt, then that sucks. Obviously life is more important. If you have a baby, if someone in your family is sick, whatever, or if you just don't want to go, great. That's your prerogative. You don't have to be anywhere right now. But don't get mad if people question it, if you're putting out cryptic texts on Twitter. If you're mad about it, clear it up. All you have to do is say, hey, I'm not going to be there because I'm a dad. Why not? Like, what's the harm in that? Should be celebrated. 19 minutes after the hour, we're going to take a short break. When we come back, let's talk a little bit more about those Nuggets and Michael Malone and what it means for Denver to give him that contract extension. And are we in a championship window? And how long is this championship window really going to last? You know, of course, you have to look at Jamal Murray and Michael Porter Jr. So we'll talk about that next. 20 minutes after the hour, it's the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Want sports from the coach? Tune in to Clark and the Coach, weekdays at 11 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, this is Harrison Wynn with DNVR Nuggets. You're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Love the GOAT. I've been there a lot recently. Fun remote last week. They're in Center Place, if you haven't been there before. It is the sports bar. There is nothing that compares to the GOAT, even close in the Northern Colorado area. Probably all over the place, man. It is wonderful. It's a happening place. The Wisconsin cheese curds, you got to try them. They are delicious. Great burgers, wings. They have everything there. And they got 36 HD TVs to watch your favorite teams play. Gear up, because you got the Avs and the Nuggets getting set for the playoffs. There's your playoff headquarters right there. The Rockies are starting up in a couple of weeks. And oh, by the way, March Madness is back tonight. So go over to the GOAT, enjoy a beer, beverage, burger, whatever. Tell them we sent you here from the whole show powered by PDC Energy. Method Flow Products poll question of the day. Who would you rather see the Nuggets take on in that first round? Would you rather go up against Golden State? Which, if Curry's there and healthy, then I'm going to say Memphis. Curry is like LeBron to me in many ways. They could have an off year, which Curry hasn't really had an off year, but, you know, it's not an MVP type year for Curry. It could be a weird year for him, and LeBron's obviously having a rough go. I still don't want to see those guys in the postseason. Until proven otherwise, I really don't want to see LeBron in the postseason. I don't want to see Steph Curry in the postseason. Steph Curry is, again, he's a lead eraser or a lead builder, depending on what their situation is. So I would rather not, but if you tell me Curry's probably out for the playoffs or a good chunk or the first round or a good chunk of the first round, then I'm probably going to go that route. What does the signing mean to you? Do you like the fact that the Nuggets extended Michael Malone And he'll probably be with you now with the Nuggets for the foreseeable future, at least a few years. Again, the move was, hey, we believe we're in a championship window, and Michael Malone's the guy to get the job done. He's the one that can do it. So when you look at it, are the Nuggets in a championship window? And I think the answer is yes. They've had to kind of take this weird pause from it because Michael Porter Jr. and Jamal Murray being out. I mean, that certainly sets it up. You know, okay, this isn't maybe the year, but next year. I do think that if you have Michael Porter Jr., well, let's just say if you have Jamal Murray healthy, MPJ, still an X factor to me. I believe he's going to work out. The Nuggets desperately hope he does. They signed him to the max contract. But Jamal's good enough where if those two guys are healthy, the Nuggets should be considered one of the best teams in the league. I mean, look at what they've done. You know what I was reading this morning, Jades? That the Nuggets' second best scorer, Will Barton. His total, he's averaging 14 points per game. That's their second leading scorer. That's the worst second man in the game as far as point total. That means that everybody else has a better Robin than Nikola Jokic. And again, even more reason why Joker's the MVP. He's going to win it. He's going to get it in number two here. And Joker's now starting to put his name not in the GOAT category, but close to it. He's pushing his name up close to those top names if he gets another MVP. And again, they need a championship. If you really want to get there, can he go down as one of the greatest of all time without one of those? Probably not. Certainly on his way. But think about that number. Now, Gordon's right behind Will Barton. Barton averages 14.5. Gordon averages 14.4. But the bottom line is, go and look at any other team in the NBA. No second best scorer has less points per game than Will Barton. Will Barton has not been good this year, and he's your second, according to point totals, he's your second best player. Bones Highland is your second best player right now. It sounds weird to say it, but he is. That rookie is something else, man. He's averaging 9.5 points per game, but the step back jumpers, the step back threes, his teamwork with Joker these last few weeks, he's getting it. You could see it in his eyes. He's looking for the Joker now. Those two are playing really well together. So are the Nuggets in a championship window this season? Probably not. It's kind of like it's open. We have a big championship window, but you put a curtain over the top of it. You put a curtain over it right now because Porter's out, because Jamal's out. But I think you get whatever happens this year, which with every game that goes on, I am starting to, again, wonder about Jamal and Michael Porter Jr. Chris Dempsey will be on with us. He was optimistic about Jamal last week. Where is he today? But assuming those guys don't come back, I still think maybe Denver can get past the first round. That's going to be a battle, but I still put Joker up to have monster games. But if they don't, I still think you look at the season and go, well, it was a great season considering, I think. If your expectations are for the Nuggets to win a championship without Jamal and MPJ, then you are wrong. I do not expect the Nuggets to win a championship this year unless they can get those guys back and unless they can get those guys back healthy. Like actually playing not timid and not, you know, not rusty, which is a big ask. Because you look at Klay Thompson, he's just now coming back from it. Every game we go by and those two don't play, it does make you wonder if it's actually going to happen. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. When we come back, we'll catch up with Kevin Lytle. I got up bright and early, went out to watch some Colorado State practice again, and just to get the vibe. You know, I just like getting the feel for what, you know, they got the music going on there. It's a fun time. They're airing it out every chance they can get. Let's talk about Kevin, about some of the players who we should be looking out for on the offensive side of the ball, because everybody wants to know, you know, what is this team going to be? So we'll talk to Kevin Lytle from the Fort Collins, Colorado, about it next. First, let's get the latest on the local Sports Flash.